Well, good morning, church. It's really a massive blessing to be back to be able to bring you guys the Word of God. And what an incredible day in terms of the weather. It's so good to be back in the house sharing the gospel and just having this incredible, beautiful weather. And seeing a lot of you, which I haven't seen for a while because I normally obviously are involved with the 5 p.m. service. But it's, yeah, just such a blessing to be back. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Dave. I'm the Youth and Young Adults Ministry Leader here at HVBC. And today we're going to be looking at the love aspect of the Faith, Hope and Love series that we've been going through this term. Now, I'd just like to start off in prayer, so just please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can meet today. We thank you, Lord, that you are just so good and you love us so much. And I just really pray, Lord, that everything that you've put on my heart and everything that you've given me to share today, that it will just really resonate with everyone here today and everyone watching at home. And we just really pray that you will just really bless everyone here today with your word, and that people will feel connected to you, closer to you, and just feel like you've really spoken to them today. Amen. Okay, so as I mentioned, we've been going through the Faith, Hope and Love series over the last term. And today we're going to be looking at a topic based on the love aspect of our series. So today my message is called Love is the Value that Unites Us for the Cause of Christ. Now, when we think about unity, I know for a lot of you guys with your families, you have traditions that just really resonate with your particular family. And it's something that brings you all together. Some of you, I know, love camping. I've heard a lot of you talk about camping before. A lot of you like sport, and I know that whether it's footy or car racing or MotoGP, it's something that unites your family together as a whole, which is really, really cool. The other thing is food. I know going into the Christmas season, a lot of people will be very excited about the Christmas puds and the hams and all the amazing stuff that brings families together at Christmas time. And it's something that unites a lot of families both inside and outside the church. But what I want us to think about today is, you know, I look at our church here as a church family, okay? It's not just a group of people that just hang out as a Christian club. This is a church family, okay? And for this next season that we're going into, I really want us to unite together. And the thing that I really want to unite us with is love. Now, you might say, oh, well, Dave, you know, what are you talking about with that? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to unpack today the aspect of how we can love better as Christians, and also how we can come together and unite for God's kingdom. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to please turn with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's on the board, so it's all right. All right, so we're going to start in verse 2. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've highlighted three words in there: the faithful, the hope, and the loving. Faith, hope, love. Now, in this passage, Paul is writing this passage and saying to the people that he himself, Timothy and Silvanus, have been praying with thanksgiving for the Thessalonian Christians. Now, throughout the Bible, Paul prayed many times for wisdom and really asked God for his will. And as Jen mentioned earlier, you know, prayer is such a powerful thing that we can be doing as members of this church family, not just for one another, but for people outside of our community, people in our community. And this is something that was very, very dear to Paul. Now, the three key qualities that you can see in here is faith that worked, resulting in repentance, the hope in Jesus' return created strong spiritual muscle for life storms, and their love for Jesus caused them to work really hard for him. We talk a lot about faith, hope, and love here at HVBC. If you've been here for a while, you know, we've got it on the wall over there. We talk about it a lot. But how often are we actually putting that into practice with people that don't know God yet? How often are we sharing our faith with people that don't know God? How often are we putting our hope in God's promises through tough times? And I love this church, and my prayer in this next season at HVBC is that we will apply the faith, the hope, and the love practically in our lives every week. And I'd love to see people just loving people, even if they don't love you back. That's a hard thing to do, but it's something that God wants us to do. And God will use this application to see people's lives change forever. Now, we're going to turn to 1 John 4, 19 to 21. We love each other because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, then that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we can't see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. So, obviously we know God is love. God created love. And God loved you and I before we were really, truly capable of loving him. We can only love people because of what God has done with his love for us. Now, in verse 20 and 21, the love it's talking about is not just exclusive between us and God. You know, in this passage, they're saying that the love that God wants us to show is for everyone, not just the people who are our best mates or our family. Like, that's all good, but he wants us to love everyone, no matter what. And this is echoed by Jesus in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. It says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." So that's coming straight from Jesus himself. That passage is really, really important. And it's saying, when it says to love our neighbors, that's not just saying the people that live next door to you, but it's saying the people that's in your world. You know, it could be people at work, could be people that you are in social clubs with, it could be your, you know, postie or the person that makes your coffee in the morning. They're all of our neighbors, and that's who God is calling us to love. Sometimes God might ask us to love someone that has a different belief to us, or a different lifestyle, or, you know, comes from a different background, and that's fine. We shouldn't just be trying to connect with people that we love because of common interests or hobbies or that sort of thing. We should be making sure that we're loving people no matter what their background is. And if God calls us to love someone, we must do it no matter what. Now, the world at the moment, you know, I don't know if you guys have been checking out on social media or even just reading papers, but at the moment, the more and more that, you know, since COVID, I've seen this real sense of selfishness that the world is sort of preaching upon people. You know, they're saying, well, you know what? Just do what you want. You only live once. You know, don't think about other people. You just do what you want. Make yourself happy. And then, if, you know, it doesn't matter if it affects other people. Just do what you want. You only live once, and just have as much fun as possible. But see, for me, I think, well, yes, we do only live once. But part of that is not only just making enjoying life for ourselves, but also listening to the call of God and what he wants us to do with people as well. Now, some of you might be saying, well, Dave, that loving stuff, that sounds awesome, but, you know, I work really long hours. I work really long hours, and I don't really have a lot of time to love people outside of my family and my friends and that sort of thing. But maybe you could spend some time in prayer. Maybe there's someone at your work that God wants you to love. Maybe there's someone that's really hurting at your work that God is calling you to reach out to. I've had conversations in my world in chaplaincy just recently with you know, people who I had no idea wanted to have a chat about their lives, and God really gave me an incredible opportunity to, yeah, just show love to a specific teacher who was going through a really, really tough time. And it didn't cost me to, you know, do anything extra special. It was just a conversation. But I really felt like God was moving there. Some of you are parents, and some of you, you know, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, and you've got a lot of time that you have to invest into those kids, and that's completely fine as well. We want you to love your kids. We're not saying don't love your kids. But you can still pray and ask God, hey, God, who's someone in this, you know, my group, my kids' group, that I could potentially show some love to? Could be another parent in a, you know, kindy club or preschool or daycare or anything like that. We all have an opportunity to show that love when God's called us. Or you might be retired. We have some people here that are retired, and God bless you for that. It's amazing. And you might say, well, Dave, you know, I've been loving people. I've been serving. I've done a lot of stuff in my time, and I just want to relax now and put my feet up and just unwind. And that's fine. I'm not saying you can't do that. But what I am saying is there could be someone in a social club, or, you know, if you're up in the village, there's plenty of people up there. You might pray and ask God to show you someone that potentially he wants you to love. Now, our next Bible passage is 1 Corinthians 1:10. And it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, but rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Now, Paul laid a very firm foundation in this letter in two ways. Number one, he had zero doubts that the Christians in Corinth at the time obviously loved God, and they all united to love God together. But number two, they were grounded in the security in Christ himself. But Paul talks about the division that's happening in the church at the time. Now, you think, obviously, they all love God, that they'd all be united and loving God together. But unfortunately, there was division over certain things that were happening in Corinth at the time. And whether we like it or not, since the COVID lockdowns last year, not just one church, but in many, many churches, there's been a lot of division. There's been a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on with, you know, vaccines and lockdowns and churches opening, churches shutting, people having different ideas about different things. Even though everyone in the church is loving the same God, worshiping the same God, there's been, unfortunately, some division. And Paul is pleading with them in Jesus' name to agree with one another and have those zero divisions. Paul is saying that because everyone in the church is a follower of Jesus, they can live in unity and work together as a church united by the same faith. And I look at our church and I think how incredibly diverse we are, but how the fact that we all love the same God. And I know that if, you know, united together, that God is doing some incredible things already, but God can continue to do some amazing things into next year. Now, Paul isn't saying that people can't have different opinions. Sometimes when people hear that word division, they say, oh, well, we're not just going to all agree on the same thing. Everyone in here is going to have different opinions on different things, you know. Could be political stuff, could be teaching stuff, could be all sorts of stuff. Paul's not saying that we have to agree on every single thing. I think it's great to have some healthy discussion and debate about certain things. I think it's really good. I think some people can do it really well. Some people can't do it that well, but I think if it's done in a professional and a respectful way, I think it's great to have different opinions. But at the end of the day, no matter what our different opinions are, we need to come together and unite as one church family. So, you might be saying, well, that all sounds great, Dave, but how are we going to do that? You know, how are we going to do this leaving today? Well, I've come up with 5 ways that as a united church, we can love better, not just here at HVBC, but in our community and obviously in our areas all around Sydney. So, number one is prayer. So 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Prayer is We've heard it a few times already in this service. It is such an incredibly powerful tool that we can love people. And it's very, very simple to do. All it takes is 30 seconds just speaking to God and just saying, God, who do you want me to love? How can I love someone better? Who's hurting? Who can I reach out to? You know, we currently have, we're very blessed. We have a lot of different prayer groups at HVBC, a lot. We've got prayer groups popping up with 2 and 3 people and lots of different stuff happening. We've got the Immerse Night. We've got Joni and Nathan's got an incredible prayer group. We've got all these groups that are happening. And really, I'd love to encourage all of us to be part of one of those groups or start a new group. But that prayer is just so powerful. Now, whether our lives are going great or whether things are going really, really bad, you know, my prayer is that as a church that we can love each other regularly through prayer. And can I encourage you all here today, and those of you that are watching online as well, that please prioritize daily prayer in everything that you do. No matter how busy your weeks are, no matter how much you got on, if you can set aside just a couple of minutes each morning or each afternoon on while you're driving, while you're sitting on the train, while you're whatever, just spend a couple of minutes each day praying, I guarantee you that you will see that prayer works. Now, God's not going to answer our prayer exactly how we want it every single time, but he listens to every prayer and he does answer every prayer. Church, let's get excited when we pray. You know, let's not see it as a burden. See it as something that we're talking to the creator of the universe. So that's something that's incredibly special and a massive blessing. All right, number two is gathering. Now, Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Now, we all know that when we had our lockdowns and we weren't allowed to meet, that was heartbreaking. It was something that was really, really painful. And I know a lot of you said to me, "I can't wait till we get to meet together. I can't wait till we get to come back into this building." And I was the same. Zoom was great, but there's nothing better than being in the house of God with your church family. And you might be thinking, how is gathering together loving? You know, how's that loving people? Well, first of all, it's loving to God because we're coming together, we're worshiping together, and we're loving God. But secondly, we can be loving people here too. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many times has someone in here had a really rough week or going through a really bad trial, and they've come to church and someone has shown them love? Could be through prayer, could be through a Bible verse, could be, you know, through a song. Now, if that person that showed the love to the person didn't turn up to church, then what would have happened to that person? They would have come to church feeling a bit down, feeling upset, feeling, you know, and known that particular person that God wanted to love them wouldn't be there. I really want to encourage us, now that we have the opportunity to come to church whenever we want, and I really want to encourage us to come and love people. Not just come because we want to receive or that, you know, there's nothing else on, so I'll go to church. But really prioritize it, because even if everything is going amazingly well in your life, God can still use us in this house to love each other. All right, number three is community. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Now, there are approximately 90 one another's verses in the Bible. Greet one another, comfort one another, etc. Now, my prayer for HVBC is in this new season that our community groups like carols and chaplaincies and SRE and RPM Youth and Playtime, you know, all those sort of groups will be places where these one another's verses can be lived out in love. There's so many ordinary people in our community looking for hope. And when I say, when that verse says ordinary people, they're not talking about in a negative way. They're just saying ordinary people. And there's so many people that need to be loved and that could be loved. You know, you can walk up to North Richmond and just walk around and you will see people that are looking for love. As a church, if we can love these ordinary people, You never know that God can help them with starting to have a faith, and they can experience the hope and love of God that we talk about here. Number four is serving together. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. We can really serve together and bless people in our community with so many different ways. It doesn't have to be serving here. A lot of people think, oh, I can't serve at church, so I can't serve. But there is so many people in our community here at HPBC that are serving in so many different ways outside of church. And I love that. I love that people are making meals for people. I love that people are mowing people's lawns who are, you know, unable to mow their lawns at the moment. I love that people are meeting with people and just having coffee or having lunch or, you know, going out for dinner and just helping and serving in that way. So I really want to encourage us all here today, for those of you that are doing it, to keep going, because God is using that. And if you can't, or you're not currently serving, maybe have a chat to one of the ministry leaders or church leaders, because there's plenty of things that you can do that aren't here on a Sunday that are still serving our community. Serving costs us a little bit. It could be time, could be a couple dollars here and there, but the blessing that you are doing to helping someone is well worth that cost. And God doesn't forget that stuff. You can still have a great relationship with your family. You can still work a full-time job. You can still catch up with your friends and still serve God in some way. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And our fifth and last is encourage. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Simple phone call, simple email, simple text message. How many people here have had a really tough day or a tough week or a tough month or even a tough year and you've got a phone call or you've got a text message or you've got an email or even just a meetup or a coffee with someone and they've encouraged you and you've gone, oh, praise God, thank you God for that person just encouraging me. I really needed that. I think most people in here would be able to say that they've experienced that at least once in their life. Encouragement is something that is so important, especially in this crazy time that we're living. And don't forget to encourage people that are serving as well. A lot of the time at churches, you know, we encourage one another, which is great, but people that serve here at HPBC have tough weeks too. And people at HPBC who serve here sometimes are really struggling with stuff. So please remind yourselves to encourage those people too. My prayer, church, is that our amazing church will be a place of encouragement, not discouragement. Discouragement can be an incredibly destructive feeling in the hearts of people who serve at churches all over the world. We have an incredible culture here at HPBC, and I really want to continue that positive culture into next year. Let's lovingly help each other, and let's encourage each other when we need in everything that we do. So, church, if love is the value that unites us for the cause of Christ, then what acts of love are we going to be doing for the cause of Christ this year? In the next season here at HPBC, we need to be united and we need to be loving each other in all that we do. Are we all going to get on board? Is this something that we're going to do collectively, united? Or are we just going to just, you know, let someone else do it? Ask yourself now, am I on board? Am I on board and do I value love and unity here at HPBC? Are you willing to be used by God? Are you willing for God to engage with you and help you work God's kingdom after this service? God has incredible plans for HPBC. We've seen some incredible stuff happen in the past and God has so many plans for this church in the future. All of us here today, we can unite together to achieve this desired outcome that God has for our community. I love this church and I really can't wait to see what God has for us leading into Christmas and what God has in store for HPBC in 2023. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this incredible church. I love this church so much and the people in it. We're so blessed to have just so many incredible people here that do love you and do want to serve you and do want to love for you. So I just pray, Lord, that people will feel encouraged and that you will speak to everyone here today and show them exactly who you want them to love and how they can unite together for your outcomes. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to meet today. Amen.